What kind of music did the pilgrims listen to at the first Thanksgiving feast?
I don't know what.
Plymouth Rock.
It's time for the children's hour.
Extraordinaire, je voudrais être extraordinaire, je voudrais être extraordinaire, je voudrais être extraordinaire, je ne veux pas être un simple mammifère, d'ailleurs j'aurais trop de mal à m'y faire, je voudrais être extraordinaire, je voudrais être extraordinaire.
That is wonderful, from a Putumayo collection, French songs for kids. That's Pascal Parisot. And I just want to say hello to everyone in listener land and hello to everyone in the studio. Hello, studio people. Hello.
Hello.
We have a whole lot of people in here. I am Katie Stone, and you are tuned in to the Children's Hour, broadcasting live from atop Oñate Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico, here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it's kind of cold, but sunny, like it is so many days of the year here. And we're so excited because we have such a great show lined up for you. But first, let us say hello to everyone in the studio. Who is with me in the studio? Hello.
Hi, I'm Griffin.
Hi, I'm Margo.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hello, it's Haley.
Hi, it's Siobhan.
Hi, I'm Maya.
Hi, I'm Clara.
It's so great to have you all here. Hello. Anything, any news in the studio? Anything, anything? Family in town? You gobbled up your meal?
My sister's coming for Christmas.
My sister's in town.
Yay. I'm super excited about today's show because we are talking about something pretty important, like really important. We're talking about vaccinations. Should we give it a shot? Anybody here been vaccinated? Yes, Yeah.
Our school had a vaccination, the flu shot vaccination, where everybody would take the ground.
Oh, neat. Does it hurt when you get a vaccine, do you think?
No.
Not really.
Yeah. Anybody have any kind of like weird reaction to a vaccine where you like turned into a pumpkin or something?
No.
No? No? Okay. I haven't either. I get the flu shot myself because I really don't like the flu a lot, but also because I don't really want everyone around me to get the flu. And Dr. Daugherty is here, and he's going to be talking to us about vaccines, because there is a lot to learn about vaccines. There was actually a piece on Morning Edition about how there is an outbreak of the measles in Romania because people are not getting vaccinated. And the measles really stinks. It's like you get these sores all over, and I think they hurt as well as itch and burn. So they're pretty horrific, and they can actually come all over your face and stuff. And for my crew who's in here, who's my regular crew, you all were here a couple weeks ago. Remember what we were talking about a couple weeks ago when we sang Ring Around the Rosies?
Yeah.
Actually, if you read the Queen, who is Queen Elizabeth the First, I think, I read that book, and it told you all about the history of Ring Around the Rosie and how she got the plague, and she let nobody ever see her face without makeup before, after that.
Because it just so disfigured her face. Yeah, we were talking about Ring Around the Rosie because we were doing a show a couple weeks ago, and this is up on the archive, and it's also been podcast at childrenshour.org. You can be listening to the show right now at childrenshour.org, or a lot of our old shows are up there too, and lots of information is up there. But we were talking about Ring Around the Rosie because there was a children's song from New Mexico that was like the New Mexican Spanish language version of Ring Around the Rosies, which was about basically being really disfigured from getting smallpox. And there's a very interesting story about how the smallpox vaccine, the state of New Mexico had a crucial role, at least in this region, by figuring out how to vaccinate people way back when, before we ever had the official vaccine. And what they do actually is kind of gross. And I think Dr. Daugherty can probably speak more about it. But basically, they took the pus, I know this sounds super gross, from somebody with smallpox, a child with smallpox, and gave a little of that to kids around New Mexico. And guess what happened? Those kids who got that did not get smallpox. And so we have, the state of New Mexico has played a significant role in the development of vaccines. And we can't wait to share more with you all about that. But there's so much to share with you on the show today. We're broadcasting live at childrenshour.org. Follow along with our playlist at KUNM.org. And oh, I don't know, do you all know the Albuquerque the Turkey song?
Yes.
You ready to sing along? Oh, here we go.
Albuquerque is a turkey, and he's feathered and he's fine, and he wobbles and he gobbles, he is absolutely mine. He's the best pet that you can get, better than a dog or cat. He's my Albuquerque turkey, and I'm mighty proud of that. Albuquerque is a turkey, and he's feathered and he's fine, and he wobbles and he gobbles, he is absolutely mine. He's the best pet that you can get, better than a dog or cat. He's my Albuquerque turkey, and I'm mighty proud of that. Albuquerque is a turkey, and he's feathered and he's fine, and he wobbles and he gobbles, he is absolutely mine.
Albuquerque the Turkey is done there by Riza Mirzahi Shami Presents. You're tuned to the Children's Hour, broadcasting live at childrenshour.org.
is strong, only cares for joyful giving. And if we try, we shall see. In this bliss we cannot feel. Fear or dread, we stop existing and start living. Then it feels an awkward. Love, no threats growing. So make a better world. Make a better world. Don't let that disappear. Preserve our animals and plants and humankind as well, so that our future generations can have a story to tell. Protect us from evil and spread the word of good, of peace, love, justice, virtue, and brotherhood. Cause we only have one earth and we can't waste our motherland, so let's move as one force. I think it's time to take a stand.
Ma'ati Ba'ani, and a single that was released called Heal the World. I want to introduce our guest, and he has come all the way from UNM, which is really, we're at UNM, so you didn't come that far. But he is the pediatric infectious disease specialist at UNM, and In other words, kids' infectious diseases, correct?
Correct.
His name is Walter Doherty, and Dr. Doherty, thank you for being with us on the Children's Hour.
It's my pleasure.
You give vaccines, eh?
Yes, we provide vaccines over at the hospital.
So I wanted to know why we use vaccines.
That's a great question. So vaccines help prevent diseases. So they don't cure a disease if you have it, but they prevent you from getting it in the first place. And so they keep you from getting sick, from missing school, from having all sorts of horrible symptoms. And some of those diseases they prevent actually could kill you or cause lifelong problems. And so those vaccines completely prevent it, so you don't have to worry about it.
I wanted to know why. What diseases do vaccines prevent?
Lots of diseases. So some diseases you've heard of, like influenza and chickenpox, you've probably heard of. But they also prevent diseases you may not have heard of, like mumps and rubella. And an interesting fact about vaccines, the reason you probably haven't heard about those diseases is because they don't really exist that often in the United States. Because vaccines are so effective, they've really gotten rid of those diseases. They don't exist anymore, in many cases in the U.S., because the vaccines work so well. So I think it's a great thing when a child comes up to me and says, "What's rubella? I don't know what rubella is." 100 years ago, you would have been really familiar with rubella because it could cause deafness, blindness, and even death. And now kids don't even know what it is because the vaccines have been so effective.
Do we eliminate it?
Not completely, unfortunately. There's no rubella left in the United States. But some countries, such as Africa, still have rubella because they don't have as good a vaccine system as we do here in the United States.
This is the big question. Griffin here has, like, the question of the hour, I feel like.
Are vaccines safe?
Yeah, that's a great question, and we get that all the time. Vaccines are incredibly safe. How do we know that? Of all the things we do in medicine, all the medicines we give, all the surgeries we do, vaccines have probably been tested for safety more than anything else. We've been giving them for decades. Hundreds of tests have been done to make sure they're safe, and they are completely safe. So if anyone tells you that they cause problems or they're not safe, they're actually not telling the truth. They are completely safe. They've been validated, checked over and over and over and over again. So that's the great thing about them. Not only do they prevent these diseases, keep you from getting sick, they're 100% safe, and you do not have to worry about receiving them.
What can you say about when people say, "But I read that autism causes, you know, is caused by vaccines," or "I read that people have terrible reactions and sometimes die from vaccines"? Like, what is that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of myths that surround vaccines, and they gain traction, and they really become a form of urban legend. And people wonder why the story of the Loch Ness Monster survives or Bigfoot. It really takes on a cult status. And many of these myths about vaccines, like they cause autism, have been going on for decades, and they're perpetuated on social media now, and they have no basis in truth. Quick story. For example, the autism story was initially started by a doctor named Andrew Wakefield, who was from England. And he published a research paper stating he thought that vaccines caused autism. It later came out that he made up most of his data, and the all of his other workers and helpers denounced him and said, "This is not true." They removed their name from the study, and it was completely invalidated. His medical license was taken away from him, and the story was thoroughly debunked. However, people still believe that. And most people that believe it aren't even familiar with how that urban legend got started. But they just hear it on a Facebook post, a Twitter tweet, and there's no basis in truth. So I really would think that's a great example of misinformation and fake news that's been spread.
Well, you are listening to Dr. Walter Doherty. He is an infectious disease guy at the pediatric department at the University of New Mexico. We have a lot more to cover about vaccinations and kids. The kids have a huge list of questions that they want to ask, and we're so delighted that you're with us.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. We'll be right back.
He will win. He will win. He will not give up. He will win. He will win. He will not give up.
up.
Polio sweeps through the cities. It frightens and cripples and kills. The spirulin virus is sneaking inside us, completely resistant to pills.
It's hard to detect this invader that seems to come out of thin air. A doctor works late with a crushing weight on his shoulders he chooses to bear. He will not give up, he will not give in. He will find the answer through thick and thin. Every day and night he will fight the fight and he'll win. He will not give up. Lab he is working, seldom takes time to relax. His focus is keen to find a vaccine to stop this disease in its tracks. His family suffers his absence. They know he must finish the race. But the children roll by and the parents cry, and he knows he must keep up the pace. Find the answer through thick and thin. Every day and night he will fight the fight and he'll win. He will not give up.
From his CD, American Heroes 3, Jonathan Sprout with He Will Not Give Up, the song about the man who developed the polio vaccine, Jonas Salk. You're listening to the Children's Hour. So happy to have in the studio with me Dr. Walter Daugherty. He is from UNM's Pediatric Department, an infectious diseases guy. And we're talking about vaccinations.
What diseases used to cause problems that now don't because of vaccines?
Yeah, well, great example is smallpox. Smallpox killed millions of people in history, and it actually is extinct. So it's just like the dinosaurs. We got enough people vaccinated that smallpox had no one left to infect, and it died. So smallpox is extinct like the dinosaurs because of vaccines. And then we have diseases that are still persisting in areas of the world that don't have good vaccine coverage but are essentially eliminated from the United States, like diphtheria, which gives you the worst sore throat ever and can actually kill you. Rubella, we talked about that, can cause blindness and deafness, doesn't really exist anymore in the United States. And then we have diseases like measles and mumps, which are for the most part gone, but occasionally you see cases pop up in children that haven't gotten their vaccines.
And it really is about those myths that people are afraid of getting sick. But that is a myth, 100%.
Yes, which it is a myth.
How do vaccines work?
That's a really good question. Yeah, so what vaccines do is really very clever. That needle that they use actually puts into your body a tiny little piece of the infection. So if you're getting a flu shot, it's injecting a tiny little piece of the flu. Isn't capable of causing disease, but allows your immune system to help practice fighting off flu so that if you get exposed to real flu, it knows what to do. So the vaccine really is homework for your body's immune system, getting it studied up and ready and prepared so that when you actually encounter the real flu, it knows exactly what to do and how to kill it. So it's a safe way to get your body prepared for any of those infections that you're going to encounter.
What happens if we don't get vaccines?
So if you don't get vaccines, it's possible nothing would happen, but you do increase the chances that you might get sick because you don't have that protection anymore. I like to say it's kind of like what would happen if I don't wear my seatbelt. Nothing might happen, but if you were in a car crash on the road and you didn't have your seatbelt on, you might get hurt very badly. The seatbelts are there to protect you in case you have a problem. Vaccines are the same way. So you might increase the chances that you're going to get sick if you get exposed to someone who has some of these illnesses at school, in the supermarket, and chances are you wouldn't even recognize them if you ran into them.
Okay, so the flu vaccine, why do we use it?
Yeah, so we use it to prevent us from getting influenza. Influenza can cause you to be really sick, and it can actually kill you, which a lot of people don't realize. There were almost 200 children last year that died of the flu, and older people, your grandparents, are much more likely to die if they get the flu. So getting a flu shot keeps you healthy. You don't want to get sick, and in some instances, it could actually keep you alive. The other thing to keep in mind is that if you get the flu, you may not be horribly sick, but if you go over to your grandma and grandpa's house and you infect them, they could get very sick and end up in the hospital. So if you get your flu shot, increases the likelihood that everybody's going to be healthy and not get sick with the flu.
Dr. Dougherty, when I hear about vaccines, I often hear about this phrase, herd immunity. Can we all moo, please? Okay, now herd immunity. Talk to us about herd immunity.
So herd immunity actually comes from the concept of cows or goats or sheep, an animal herd. And if ranchers or farmers vaccinate enough animals in a herd, then no one will get sick in the herd because the infection doesn't have anybody that's unvaccinated that it can infect. It's kind of like a game of musical chairs. If you've ever played musical chairs, eventually they keep taking the chairs out so that the loser has no chair to sit in and then they're out of the game. So if you vaccinate enough people in a community or a school, for example, then the virus is looking for someone to infect. And if it can't find anyone to infect, it dies, just like a game of musical chairs. So it used to be with animals, you'd vaccinate them. And if you got enough of the herd vaccinated, no one would get sick. Now we use that same term with people, but the concept's the same.
I have to give credit to my husband for this. Vaccine, the word, the etymology of the word, the beginning of that word, vaca. Vaca is the word for cow in Spanish and in Latin. It has a Latin root. Is that where the word vaccination comes from?
To be honest with you, I don't know.
I think it does.
Yeah.
I'm getting a thumbs up from Andrew Stone over there, who's like, yes, I've been researching it. Can you just speak briefly, and we're going to go to a song here in a minute, but can you speak briefly about New Mexico's role in the smallpox vaccine and the little story I started to tell at the very beginning?
Yeah, so smallpox was a real dangerous disease, a virus that existed a long time ago. And it was a very tragic story. It actually decimated entire populations of Native Americans, in some instance, hastening the demise of entire tribes. The Sioux, for example, were just completely wiped out by smallpox. And a vaccine was developed using some of these declawed forms of the virus and exposing healthy people to that to prevent the disease. And there were individuals in New Mexico that were vaccinated to help test this. And they found that if they were injected or exposed to this vaccine form, that they didn't get disease. And that really helped spread the vaccine. And interestingly enough, in a state that has a very large Native American population. So I think that actually was a good thing.
Can you just really briefly tell us when you all come up with the flu? I say you all. I mean, it's not probably you personally, but when the flu vaccine comes out every year, we hear, oh, it covers these types of flu. How do you know that those are the types of flu that we're going to end up being exposed to? Or is it just an educated guess? Or tell us about that piece.
It's an educated guess. So interestingly, the flu changes every year. So it's a little bit different, unlike things like chickenpox that are the same every single year. And scientists don't know exactly what kind of flu is going to circulate or be around in the coming season. So what they do is they look at the southern hemisphere. They look at the other side of the planet and see what kind of flu it is seeing during its winter while we're having summer. And then they also look at what kind of flu we had the year before. And then they make an educated guess based on that. And that's what they make the vaccine out of. And sometimes they guess better than others. What we really want to do is come up with what we call a universal flu vaccine that would cover all the types of flu so we wouldn't have to guess anymore.
Dr. Walter Doherty, he is from UNM's pediatric department. He is an infectious disease specialist. And we are just so thankful that you came on the show to talk about this very important topic, vaccines. It is vaccine season for, well, if you're a brand new baby, it's a vaccine season for you. But tell us about what vaccine people who are listening right now, we have to keep up on a few things in life, right? Tetanus shots. Mm-hmm. Correct? So if you step on a rusty nail, what else?
Yeah, so tetanus shots every 10 years or every 5 years if you have an accident like stepping on a rusty nail. Everyone should get a pertussis booster, which they now combine with your tetanus shot at least once during your life. We need to get a flu shot every single year. There are pneumonia shots for older individuals. There's a disease called shingles, which is a reactivation of chickenpox, and that needs to be received a vaccine by older people, so your grandparents.
Shingles, I had chickenpox as a kid. Mm-hmm. Is that part of why I got the shingles?
Yeah, so the chickenpox, if you get it as a kid, it stays in your body for life.
Oh,
and
terrific.
It actually is like a hibernating bear, and it hangs out in your body. When you get older, it wakes up and can reactivate and travel back out to your skin and cause all sorts of painful rashes.
Oh man, it is so painful to have shingles, if I could just say. And I didn't know for days like what was going on because it was just excruciating pain.
Yeah.
But had I had a chickenpox vaccine as a child,
that's another great point. Yeah, so you have to get chickenpox to have shingles. So if you get the chickenpox vaccine, you never get chickenpox. When you become a grandparent, you'll never get shingles.
I love it. Folks can go really anywhere to get their flu shot. I see they're everywhere. You all are hosting shot clinics. Mm-hmm. Where can folks learn more about vaccines online?
Yeah, so the CDC has some good resources. The Children's Hospital of Philadelphia has a great resource and website. If you Google Children's Hospital Philadelphia vaccines, that will come up. The World Health Organization has some good information. Your doctor probably has some good information as well.
Thank you for being with us and talking about this really important topic. Dr. Walter Doherty works at UNM Pediatric Department in the Infectious Disease Clinic there. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
On the Children's Hour. This is Joe West from Santa Fe.
Get sick, don't let us get old, don't let us get stupid, all right, just make us be brave and make us play nice, let us be together tonight. Sky was on fire when I walked to the mill to take up the slack in the line, and I thought of my friends and the troubles they've had to keep me from thinking of mine. Don't let us get sick. Make us be brave. smiles on the lake and causes the ripples in time. I'm lucky to be here with someone I like, who maketh my spirit to shine. Don't let us get sick, don't let us get.
Zimbabwe. Ethiopia, hey you youth of South Africa, hey you youth of Africa.
Yes, you know, a new feeling, a new time, a new vibration.
Africa.
So rewind and come again, Mr. DJ.
The Children's Hour is produced by out of the studios of KUNM FM in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Our producer is Katie Stone.
Find our podcasts on iTunes or at childrenshour.org, where you can also find our playlist, the Children's Hour store, and sign up to get invitations to our public events.
The Children's Hour is a production of the Children's Hour, Inc., New Mexico nonprofit dedicated to producing high-quality kids' media for a worldwide audience. Find out more at childrenshour.org.
Thanks for being with us on the Children's Hour. We love to hear from you. Go ahead and reach out to us. You can find a contact page at childrenshour.org. We thought we'd go out with a little bit of this.
All I really need is a song in my heart, food in my belly, love in my family. All I really need is a song in my heart, love in my family. All I really need is a song in my heart, food in my belly, love in my family. All I really need is a song in my heart, love in my family. And I need the rain to fall, give life to the seeds we sow, to give the food we need to grow. All I really need is a song in my heart, love in my family. Song in my heart, food in my belly, love in my family. Yeah, all I really need is a song in my heart, love in my family. And I need some clean water for drinking, and I need some clean air for breathing, song in my heart, love in my family. All I really need is a song in my heart, food in my belly, love in my family. Yeah, all I really need is a song in my heart.